The dawn of civilization. Primitive. Dangerous. Exciting. The handwriting is on the wall. If the human race is ever going to amount to anything, it needs...
the most civilized caveman I have ever seen.
Ah, look, he's come out of his cave.
Hey everyone, this is James from Cave Dweller Music. I am here with my co-host Brendan, and today we are joined by Dan Dalby of the band Mastiff. Dan has been on the show before, but that was mostly focused on his side label, Trepanation Recordings. Today we are talking the new album, Deprecipice, that is coming out for Mastiff on
22nd
of March. Yeah, exciting, really close now. Thanks for coming on the show, Dan. Great to have you.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
Anytime, always happy to have you on. Do you want to just tell people who don't know Mastiff what the band is about and what you do in the band?
Yeah, for sure. The band started off, it was around 2012, 2013 initially, with a bit of a different lineup. Vocalist, rhythm guitarist and drummer, always been a constant. But myself and the other guitarist, we joined the band just before we recorded the EP Bork, which came out on APF Records. Since then, we did another album that came out on the same label called Plague. And then we had the opportunity to sign with, what was initially E1, but then they changed names to Monarch Heavy. So our album, Leave Me the Ashes of the Earth, came out on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the option to release another one through them as well. So that's where we are now with Deprecipice, which comes out 22nd of March. I play bass in the band and also do general noisy stuff on record as well. That's kind of a brief history of the band. We're from Hull in the east of the UK. It's a little fishing city, I should say. Very important docks back in the day. And it was also quite heavily bombed in World War II.
Wow.
Interesting.
We just actually talked to someone about Rotterdam. They got bombed and whatnot with World War II. Has there been a lot of new infrastructure in that area since then?
They've put some investment into the city centre and things. I think a lot of the bombing was on the outskirts of the actual city centre. So obviously things were rebuilt back in the day. I'm not a Hull native myself, so I don't know a great deal about the history of it. I think it was because of the docks and the like. It was a fairly important place in the UK. It was targeted during the war, so it's an interesting place. It always gets voted quite high up on the worst places to live in the UK. But it's not that bad.
In Australia, we have this ongoing page that's been around for I don't even know how long now. And they have books and everything now called Shit Towns of the Week. And they list all of the shittiest things that have happened in Australia, right? town by town. And at the end of the year, they vote shittest town of the year. And the city I was living in before I moved to the US won number one last year. But there's this one town called Port Pirie that every single week is number 10 on the list. Even if nothing happens there, they just say Port Pirie, and then the reason is still shit.
It never makes it off the list. Hull's always in there.
Looking at your sound and style, obviously.
It's got its charms. That's all right.
Yeah, I'm sure. Every town has something going for it, except maybe Invercargill, New Zealand. I've been there. That has very little going for it. What I was going to say is, looking at your sound, you're obviously a mix of two very different worlds musically. You've got the sludge doom on the one side and then the hardcore on the other side, and they've married very well. But Did different people in the band bring those different influences together?
Yeah, we've all got sort of a different background as to what kind of things we listen to. Phil, one of the guitarists, he's pretty much straight up sort of hardcore. He likes like the tough guy stuff. Mm-hmm. We've got James, the other guitarist. These two, both Phil and James, they're kind of responsible for majority of the songwriting for the riffs that come in. James is more kind of your convergy side of things. He's big into his sort of HM2 worshipping bands as well. You know, he likes The Secret and Rotten Sound and the like. Drummer Mike, he's into his grindcore, and he also likes a lot of the old school kind of punk stuff. Jim, vocalist, he's got very varied taste in music, but I suppose for this band he's kind of all about the Acacia Strain kind of bands like that, whereas I'm probably my inspiration is mainly sort of noise rock and sort of post-punky kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think by having kind of all of these sort of inspirations ourselves, it kind of works well in creating what we do with Mastiff, really. It's kind of an amalgamation of all of our kind of inspirations. So I think previously when the band first started out, there was a little bit of a hardcore influence, but it was mainly kind of the slowy, sludgy kind of things. That took precedence, and as we've moved on, we've introduced more kind of hardcore into the mix. So
definitely,
like, faster. I've noticed, like, after like 2016 ish, you guys got like a little faster and like a little heavier, and that's even a thing.
yeah. Well, it kind of coincided. I've been James joined the band in 2016. I joined the band sort of early 2017. And it's kind of from then, it's kind of where our kind of inspirations and influences started sort of coming into the mix as well. So it kind of, with Rank, the first album that was released, it was kind of very much the initial formation of the band, and the other members that were currently in there's influences into it as well. And it kind of pushed it on a little bit more when me and James joined. So.
Yeah, 2019's album Plague was like really great. It was so good. That was the first album I heard from you guys, and now that I'm like looking back at it, I'm like, you guys, did you predict the pandemic and stuff? Like,
I think it was just a poor choice of album names, to be honest. You know, like, in that year, COVID-19 hit, and it was like, oh no.
In February, right? It was just like, oh man.
We had recorded it the year before, though, so it wasn't that year that we did it.
You couldn't have known, but like, no. Yeah.
But like, no, that was, it was cool. It was an interesting recording session for that one. We'd obviously written the songs, had them written for a while, and we'd practiced heavily, and we'd made the decision to kind of record it live by most part. So there were very minimal overdubs in there. So it was literally, we went in to the studio. It must have been the hottest day of the year. It was in the middle of August, and it was so hot. We was just there sweating. And within a day, we'd kind of tracked all the, and recorded all the songs for Plague. And then we kind of mixed it the next day and had it mastered that day as well. And within 2 days, we had Plague. We released it as it was.
That's awesome.
There was absolutely no airs and graces about it. It was like, right, 2 days in the studio, record it, mix it, master it, and then it was ready for the world. So there are things that we've had this discussion in the band many times since. There's plenty of things that, in hindsight, we go back if we were to record it again and tighten up and the like. But, you know, it was very much an album of where we were at that particular time.
Yeah.
You know, we had limited sort of financial resources. We could afford 2 days in the studio and we kind of tried to make the most of it.
Yeah, right.
But it worked well. It sold well for APF Records, and it was also kind of, it got us on the map a little bit more. And also sort of caught the attention of E1 Heavy at the time. So it kind of really helped us.
Yeah.
Helped get us onto the soundtrack for Cyberpunk as well. that was awesome.
That is so cool that you guys are on that. That's one of my favorite games of all time.
It's awesome. I haven't played it in a little bit because I've just been on a Call of Duty kick, but like, that game is a ton of fun. And then there's another band on there too that was I can't remember it now.
They have stations, and there's like the whole metal station, there's like the industrial rock station and stuff. It's great. The soundtrack
of Tumult, that game, I think it was.
Tumult. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
They were on there, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was such a bizarre thing as well. We just got an email from CD Projekt Red, I think it was, the company that made it.
Yeah.
And I was legitimately thought it was just a bit of a scam and someone was fucking having us on. You know what I mean? And it turns out that it wasn't. It was actually legitimate, and they wanted us on the game. So we went into the studio, same studio as before, and recorded Acid Breather for it. And and it's been obviously on the game. It was on the anime series that was on Netflix as well.
Yeah. And that was great too.
We never expected any of that. It was absolutely crazy how it came about.
I can't remember. That's super cool, man. Did they use your actual band name, or did they change all the band names for the radio station?
They changed the band name.
That's what I thought. I figured.
I can't remember what we were called. But you know, the song title was still Acid Breather. They didn't change that. So
yeah, because I remember like I heard bands and then like, I know this band, and as I looked at it, who played it on the radio station, like, that's not who plays this. So they changed it all up.
I think in the credits, it kind of lists the fake band name and then puts the actual proper name next to it. So
it was
such an honor to do that.
That's so cool. I only just watched the animated series like 2-3 weeks ago. It was great. Loved that too.
Yeah, they did a really good job of it. Obviously.
They did. They tied it.
So cool.
They tied everything back in, which is really cool. Like the same soundtrack, the same like stuff happening in universe, like all the same tech and stuff. It just felt like very cohesive between the two.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I was going to say, I forgot to mention this before, Brendan, you said like a band ushering in the pandemic. In 2019, in November, Cow Decapitation released an album as well, and they had a song called Bring Back the Plague.
Yeah, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, and another song called, what was it, The Great Dying, and another one called One Day Closer to the End of the World. It's like, I think they knew something we didn't.
I think they did.
Right. Yeah. That's like, it's like, oh man, come on, yeah.
It's not just one coincidence, it's three of them.
Three. And yeah. It was like 1 month, it was like the same month that COVID started happening in China. So
that's a conspiracy.
Yep.
What is this?
Another great band though, Cattle Decapitation.
They are based in the city I live in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, still the locals here. Yeah, they're a San Diego band. I was going to say is looking, I mean, I was listening to both albums, obviously, like the new one that's coming up and the previous one. I kind of think like for me, the biggest difference I noticed is atmosphere. You guys have pumped it up between the two. It's like there's very little space to breathe on this one, which I love. It's like it's kind of oppressive, but it makes it more exciting.
It's less filler.
Yeah.
Yeah, we purposely did that. It's kind of like we think quite a lot about the flow of the album with regards to sort of what tracks go into it, how we want to finish one track off and go into the next one.
Right.
You know, I like noisy stuff. So I kind of wanted to kind of have a little bit of noise in there to tie things together as well.
Yeah.
But not too much, just kind of have it as a full on assault. Kind of leave people wanting a bit more, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely, it's like, it's all killer, no filler.
Oh, well, thank you very much. This was probably the longest we've spent writing the songs. And it was also the longest we'd spent in the recording studio as well.
Yeah.
But we just kind of wanted to get get things right, you know, as far as we were concerned. We wanted to get it how we wanted to sound it. So we spent a lot more time sort of deciding on guitar tones, bass tones, and things like that. Just to, well, we sort of booked another, I think it was an extra 2 or 3 days in the studio to try and get all this stuff sorted and make it how we really wanted to sound. So I suppose at the end of the day, you never really know how many more albums you've got in you. So our philosophy is always make it the best you can, as if it's your last album, you know?
Yeah,
just
right.
Don't mess around, get out there, make it killer, and hopefully people will like it.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you guys have been consistent, you know, like 2016, 17, 19, 21, you know, 24. It's like, and you keep crushing it, and it's like each album is like slightly, you know, sound like is just progressed slightly with all your styles, you know, like it's really, I don't know. You guys are fucking killing it, I think.
Yeah, well, thank you. That means a lot. I just hope everyone else digs it as much as you do, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah, it's that's definitely great. Like, you could tell, like, each album that I felt like you guys did, you know, got like just a little bit faster, a little bit tighter, and just a little more nasty, you know, like just it's coming together, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, oh, thank you.
Don't stop.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose we're getting older and we're just getting more pissed off. The world's not getting any better, is it? So
no,
we're probably reflecting our writing, you know. But, you know, I can't see things getting any better. So our albums will probably get nastier, you know.
Keep following the trend.
Yeah. So this funny.
This is not related to music at all, but I just spoke to someone from the UK this week, a coworker. And he told me that, like, your current prime minister, no, I'm not getting political here, I'm just, this is funny, is, like, apparently, like, 5'3 or something, and hid his height from everyone right up until he was elected prime minister by having, like, all of his photos and video shoots staged his whole career.
I did not know that, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm honest with you.
Just found that really funny.
That's like,
yeah, without getting political as well, it is political, but he's just not fit to run the country.
Oh,
I don't
boy.
Care how tall he is. It's just absolutely terrible.
I remember that video of him. I thought this was hilarious at the time, where he was like talking about how like great it was that he knew working class people. Like, it was an achievement that he knew someone who was working class.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I mean, he comes from rich family background, and his wife is
richer than the queen,
ridiculously wealthy.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've had to really struggle for one day in their life, you know.
It's so insulting for, like, rich people to pretend they're poor.
Oh, I all the time, I get so frustrated with how the everyday folk, they are just not represented in any way, shape or form in any political circuit, you know.
So like, the US, all these
rich people,
the most vulnerable ones, you know, like kids and the elderly,
minorities.
Yeah,
but it's the rich, they're just there, they think they know best for everyone else, but they've not experienced anything,
right? Exactly. Like,
and it's just kind of it's insulting. It just grinds my gears, you know.
Yeah,
well, it's the same with,
like, laughing, but I don't know what else to do.
It's the same with celebrities when they try and relate to average people, like you make those videos and stuff, and it's like make like $100 million.
Put some makeup on, and you sat in the street for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's more just that.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, you've spoken to a couple of people.
Yeah,
it's a joke. It is a joke.
Exactly.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, we've got elections this year, and you guys in the US have as well, haven't you? So,
oh, God, it's so
don't
bad.
Remind us.
Yeah.
Don't remind us.
Can just anybody under fucking
80?
80, please? Like,
it's just a joke, isn't it?
Like, we had some brilliant people kind of up there kind of debating, and, you know, like, and now they're just gone because...
The party's supporting.
I don't even fucking know why. And they're just all like, yep, we're out. You know what I mean? And like, there was some people in there that I was like, wow, I've never thought I'd say it. Like, this person is making some sense right now. You know what I mean? And then it's like, whew.
Grandfather
death people match. That are actually making sense are now all leaving because the guy that makes no sense. I don't know. It makes no sense. It's like wiping before you poop. It makes no sense.
Brendan, yeah, that is the description of the US political system right now.
Yeah.
It's like wiping the crazy poop. Times.
I'm fighting scary, though, fucking Lebowski, bro.
But it is, I just can't see things getting any better. No matter how much time we give things, it's just, it'll always be the same.
Yeah.
Something needs to change. There needs to be a big shakeup.
For sure. But, they tried it and it went the wrong way.
Yeah. True. True.
Well, I got a question. It's a little less dreary here. Who's the massive Taylor Swift fan?
That'll be Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's got tickets for this upcoming tour. He's been a few times with his daughter.
His wife
as well. But he's a big Swiftie.
Yeah. Like, I've seen like the shirts and stuff every now and again. And I'm just like, where, like, this, they have to be a fan because there's no way that I don't think they're making fun of her. But it's like the Jane Doe like shirt, you know what I mean? Like, the Converge thing, and
Yeah, we were playing Damnation, and they'd asked us for a backdrop image. And the following day, Converge were playing Jane Doe in full. And we was like, oh, it'd be pretty funny if we had a Taylor Swift Jane Doe mashup kind of thing. So we just, like, in all fairness, none of us have got much design skills. So they just bashed something up, sent it through to them, they put it on there, and everyone seemed to want it as a shirt. So we've done a couple of runs of it. But again, it wasn't a piss take. We love Converge. Obviously, we've got a lot of time for Taylor Swift as well. So,
it was
one of our more interesting merch designs, I think.
It's awesome.
So, as far as music this year goes, has there been any albums that have stood out to you yet?
There's been a couple. The Body and Disfig album that came out is incredible. Also, really dig the new Square Pusher album.
Mm, yeah.
Which is, he's a phenomenal artist and musician. So I was really looking forward to that coming out, and it certainly didn't disappoint. So,
yeah. Posted it, and I was like, I put it on, and I was like, I haven't listened to Square Pusher in a minute, and I was like, wow, this is like, it's deep.
He's a talent. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've heard much else this year that's really kind of grabbed me yet. But it, you know, it's early days, isn't it? How about you guys?
There's a band called Apparition from Spain that play like old school death metal, like really late 80s, early 90s stuff, and with a ton of like thrashy riffs, and it's just excellent.
Cool. I'll have to check them out.
Album's called Fear the Apparition. And even the album art's like super late 80s, early 90s style.
Nice. Seems to be a big resurgence in the old school kind of death metal.
Yeah,
at the moment, isn't there?
The new wave of OSDM, it's awesome. Because, I mean, for me, that's perfect, because that's my favorite style of death metal, personally.
Yeah. I was going to say, Skeletal Remains released an album yesterday, and it's really good.
Ah, I didn't check that. That came out yesterday, did it?
Yeah,
that's one I'll check out as well.
Fragments of the Ageless. It's good. Definitely worth a listen. I like their style. They have a good one.
They're one of my favorite live bands as well. They're just awesome. I've seen them like two or three times now. They're great live.
That's cool. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check both of those out. But
hopefully
it'll be another good year for music. The last couple of years have been great. So
yeah, they really have.
You know, it seems to, I know obviously COVID was a bad thing, but it seems to have resulted in sort of a resurgence in a lot of good music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and there's
so
this really
much so
fun...
that I can't always keep on top of it all, unfortunately. But as I much know, as I'd like tough. To, yeah,
yeah.
There's this really fun band called Slope. I think they're on Century Media.
Okay,
they're like really, really funky metal. It's got like a kind of Regigus the Machine meets like Beastie Boys kind of vibe, and it's just a good time.
Nice. Is that just come out, or is that due out soon?
It's just come out this year. Can't remember, in February. The album's called Freak Dreams.
Cool. Another one to the list.
Yeah. I've been another good one that's nice and like real mellow instrumental band, Clouds Chase Satanic, released an album, 79 AE. And it's great. It's got awesome like guitar tone, and it's like it gets like bluesy heavy, like that. It's good, man. Really good listen.
It's like 2 17-minute tracks, right?
2 22-minute tracks, I think. Oh, or 22 minutes. Yeah. At this point, it's like 21 minutes and 48 seconds, and the other one's 38 seconds, so 10 seconds short. They're great,
it's good.
But they're good. Full of like that. It's like a good like mellow build up, and then like a good intense explosion, and then like awesome, just like fucking great guitar tone, and like it's a good listen, man. I highly recommend it.
We had them on the podcast, and I'm pretty sure. Didn't you say like, how do we make music that even less people will listen to?
Yep.
It's like make the songs longer.
Yep, exactly. Like...
I don't think anyone will ever beat Bellwitch for long songs.
What about
Sleep? 89 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Sleep as well. Dope Smoker.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
That's an hour.
Yeah.
There's some man, I think there's a couple that have pushed that limit now, but like it's wild. That was Aramet. That German band, they got might be saying it wrong, Aramet,
yeah.
Yeah. Like their whole thing is about like this like travel or whatever. They have like this saga story going on, and it's like, but each song is like they'll play a riff for like an hour and it doesn't get boring. So like how they do that.
That's a talent though, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
proper songwriting talent.
Yeah. It's really good. It's just a trio, I think.
That's cool.
And it's heavy. They get heavy.
We covered one album in 2021. I just remembered this. That was 100 tracks and 24 hours long.
Oof.
Oh, my
Is
God.
That compilation or an actual
concept album. What was the...
I don't remember the name of it.
Espinoza Espinoza. The name of the
Navy
band. And Eli, you know, remember Eli Halen?
Oh, yeah. Eli, yeah.
Yeah, he did PR for that album.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I'll have to hit him up.
Yeah.
I've been working with him on a few bits and bobs recently, to be honest. So
he's great.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Like, very gifted musically as well.
Yeah. He's always busy. Always keeping himself busy, so...
Oh, I needed to say to you, because I haven't spoken to you since, on a podcast since this came out, that concept album that you did about The Thing was absolutely awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was, we're kind of putting bits and bobs together for a new Soulful Nurse album.
Oh, great.
We've got, Matt's sort of written some sort of lyrics for his spoken word parts, and they're absolutely awesome, so... Me right. and Eli will be putting some weird sounds down, I'm sure, to accompany them. So yeah, we meant to do more last year, but me and Eli were putting stuff together for a soundtrack for a film. The actual band project took a bit of a sideline, so it's all good.
Yeah. You guys are going to be busy coming up, and this time now in a few weeks with a tour.
Yep, we've got a UK tour. So we're starting off in Hull, so a hometown show on the 22nd when the album comes out. And then we're on to Glasgow and then Edinburgh, and we've got like a day or so's break, and then we're down to London, Brighton, Bristol, Birmingham, and then finishing up in Nottingham.
Nice.
So it should be a nice day. We're sort of taking along Yersin with us, who were
a
nice bunch of chaps, and yeah, they've just had a new album out as well.
Yeah, it's so good. Actually, just mentioned
the side is remorseless.
Yeah. Oh my lord, it's so good.
They're coming. They're doing the full tour with us. So we've got some amazing bands on.
I gotta move over there.
Other dates as well. So it should be a good one.
Guys got some sick fucking shows over there. All right, so get that to come over here, please.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would love to.
That'd be a sick show, man. Is that the whole time, or?
Yeah, they're playing with us for the full tour.
That's sick, man.
So, yeah, they're nice guys. We've known them for a little while, so it kind of made sense for them to play with us. Plus, we can all fit in one van as well because there's only three of them. So
yeah,
it makes it easier sort of touring around and stuff as well. So
yeah,
but yeah, proper looking forward to that one.
That's pretty sick. Cool. That's definitely sick. Where are you guys? Do you have a where are you starting off?
Yeah, we're starting off in Hull. So yeah, that'll be a hometown show. Hopefully it'll be a cracker. You know, the album's come out on the same day, and hopefully people will dig that as well. So really looking forward to that show. Is last couple of times we've played Hull, it's gone down a blinder, so I'm hoping this one sort of follows suit. So fingers crossed and all that.
Hell yeah. I think you'll get some good support. I'd hope so. This is a brutal album, you know.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
you gotta show up.
Yeah, hopefully last gig we played, we had some stage divers, which was the first that we've had ever. So
nice.
That was interesting. But now we're looking forward to taking this album out, and we're just hoping that, you know, it resonates with people.
Hell yeah. I think that will happen for sure.
That's awesome. We put sort of a lot of ourselves into this one. A lot harder writing it than anything else we've done before. We just wanted it to be as good as we possibly could make it, you know. It was the first time we've kind of had special guests on things. So we had Rob. We've got Rob from Yersin doing a guitar solo on one track, and Harry from the band Burner doing vocals on one of the singles we've released. And lucky enough to have Ethan from Primitive Man doing some vocals on the track as well.
Yeah.
Which is cool. He's an absolutely amazing musician as well. So
yeah,
I'm just you guys really pleased.
Fun making noise.
Sorry,
I said you two would have fun making noise.
Yeah, well, yeah, we would. Yeah, I'd have to hit him up at some point. But now he's everything he does is pretty incredible. So it was just an honor that he agreed to be on the album. So yeah, that was a personal track that I wanted to kind of make sure was included. I like industrial stuff, so it's probably the most industrial thing that Massive have ever done. So it's nice. All the rest of the guys agreed to it, and it just kind of worked out well.
Oh, Brendan,
I know you've got a bunch of local questions that you always want to ask, so I might want to fire those off.
Well, I guess we got I always kind of do, but I kind of, I don't know. Let me see here. Well, when you were visiting, like out on, in the cities, do you have any, places that you like to go, like after the show, like where are you going to go grab food and stuff? Like, is there a favorite spot that you like to go back to and visit?
There's a couple. When we go to Manchester, there's a place called Bunny Jackson's that do amazing wings.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. When we go to Bristol, there's a barbecue place. I think it's called Smokehouse. But the food there is incredible. So whenever we're in those cities, we kind of make a beeline to those places, make sure we've got enough time to sort of go somewhere, enjoy a bit of food. That's kind of what we do when we're in those cities. We've not found anywhere else that's kind of been a must-go-to destination in the other places, but always open to recommendations. For the other guys as well, it's wherever does good beer. I don't drink, so it doesn't really bother me, but they tend to have a look to find really good pubs that they want to go to, and
make sure they got some good food, you know. That's important. I think that's a really big thing lately is like breweries or, you know, pubs that just like offer, you know, better food and doing a thing like that instead of like food trucks and whatnot.
Absolutely. We've actually got a beer collaboration that we've just done as well. The beer's called Trapped Inside the Void. It's a 7.2% absolute monster, supposedly. Unfortunately, I won't have a chance to try it. All the rest of the guys have had a sample, and they've all loved it. So it was another amazing sort of email message that we got from Black Iris Brewery to ask if we wanted to sort of team up with them. So it's available to buy in their sort of website. And I think, if I'm correct, we'll have some cases to take on tour with us as well to sell some at shows and things like that.
Awesome. That's pretty sweet.
So we should go with our hot sauces. Yes, it'll be in cans, but yeah, we had some hot sauce done the latter part of last year, which we've got as well. So
there you go, beer and hot sauce, that's all you want.
Yep, that exactly, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely sweet. Do you have a local, or not local, sorry, your favorite venue to visit, like when you're out, regardless of where the food is?
Tour-wise, playing at, it's probably going to be the Black Heart in London, Camden, London. It's a cracking venue, amazing sound there, and we always have a riot. So that's probably our favourite place to play.
Nice. We've
been lucky enough to play it a couple of times as well. So, yeah, it's always good.
Nice. And then what's your favourite song to play live?
I still like playing Vermin off of Plague. We've played that for years. It's probably the longest time that we've played the song, and that's always in a set. But I don't know, it's not hard or anything to play, but it's kind of, you know, the crowd get into it, and
it's
probably my favorite. We tend to always put it on at the kind of towards the end of the set as well.
High energy, you know. It's like maybe kind of like roving in a way. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's a good track.
Yeah, I think that's probably, it's not probably. It definitely is my favorite track to play live. So I think second would probably be Acid Breather, because people seem to dig that one as well.
Hell yeah. Have you guys done any Taylor Swift songs?
No. No, we haven't. I've been in the band, we've always talked about doing, like, see if we could do a cover version of something or other, or even do an EP of cover tracks. But it's never happened. I don't know. Hopefully it might happen sometime soon. I don't know whether there'll be a Taylor Swift track on there, though. And I don't know which one we'd do if there was. I always throw in there, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to like cover this Joy Division song? And but it never really gets any further than me saying that, and people saying, oh yeah, that would be a good idea. It kind of like we kind of move on, but one day maybe we'll do some covers.
That's funny. Who has the dog? Is like Massive named after like a family dog?
No, I don't think any of us have actually. I know Phil's got a dog, but it's a tiny little scruffy little thing. Where the band name came from, I have no idea. I believe they would the band was trying to come up with a name before playing a show, decided on Mastiff, and it kind of stuck. But yeah, no one seems to know exactly where it came from. It kind of works.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only dog that's in the band is just a little scruffy. I don't even know what breed it is, but yeah, it's definitely not a massive mastiff.
That's awesome.
I think there's plenty of cats in the households in the band, but yeah, we're no big dogs.
Well, I've just got two questions left for you, really. Then first one's not music related. That's what I wanted to ask you about this while I have you on the show, but have you kind of felt like this year so far has been kind of lacking for horror movie releases?
Good ones, yeah.
Yeah.
I have so far.
I haven't found anything really good so far since like end of last year.
No, it seems to have been a bit of a weird one for the beginning of the year. I don't know whether they're trying to hold off the good ones until
later,
sort of later on. But yes, it's not been that many. I did go and not horror, obviously, but went to watch Dune 2.
Oh, amazing. And amazing.
It was so good.
Yeah.
It was such so a good film.
One of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. But horror wise, no, it's been pretty dismal, to be perfectly honest.
Even Shudder's not added much worth watching the last like two or three months.
I keep checking it. I subscribe to Shudder, but it's been really sparse with they keep adding a lot of some older stuff.
Yep.
But yeah. Nothing new. Yes.
Because normally I don't know whether you always get like, well, is that real life is horror enough?
I was gonna say real life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, normally though they add like at least one or two decent like indie things like per month, but I just haven't found anything.
Yeah, it's been slow. I'm just hoping that it picks up. You need horror films. They, you know, it's a good outlet, isn't it? You know, to release. And it's a shame that when they don't come along as often as they really should, but hopefully, fingers crossed, towards the end of the year.
Last year was really good. Like the second half of last year in particular, there was like a ton of great stuff that came out.
Yeah, it was a good year last year.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that it turns out to be a good year this year as well. But yeah, I know there's been a few at the cinemas and was it Night Swim? That was kind of out.
That's so dumb.
And then there's Imaginary. I think that's come out as well. But nothing that's really
scary.
yeah.
Nothing really scary or genuinely dark.
But
you know, I'm hoping it's the studio shutdown may have affected it, which is why I was thinking maybe the Hollywood strike affected it. So maybe we'll get stuff later in the year that they need time to catch up to finish production. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be nice. But I do love a good horror. I just hope there's some good horror out this year.
A24 has really been stepping up its game the last few years. Like last year, they did so much like genuinely excellent stuff.
They're a great studio. Went to see The Iron Claw a couple of weeks back. Oh, it was really good.
Yeah,
it was really good. It was kind of one of them after watching sort of Dark Side of the Ring, the Von Erichs story kind of really stuck with me about how tragic it actually was. So it was. It was really interesting to see sort of a big screen sort of adaptation of their kind of story, even though obviously there were bits that missing, like one brother.
Right.
But no, it was a really good film. I would definitely recommend.
Okay. I hope like even if you're not into wrestling, it's worth watching.
Yeah, I'm not a big wrestling fan.
Okay.
I used to be when I was a kid. But it's kind of, I've always found wrestling interesting. Whilst I don't really watch it, it's kind of like the amount of effort and the amount it takes out of somebody.
Mm.
You know, it's a brutal business.
Oh, yes.
And it's kind of always kind of interested me on that aspect and how people just sort of give their whole life
to
wrestling.
The wrestlers are the product, so they're just basically viewed as
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it's like, that's like, the thing is, like, that's what they're selling is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they give it everything, don't they? you know. Yeah. And I think sometimes it does just take over their life. They have nothing else apart from wrestling. Syndrome. You know.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's another one coming out from them about bodybuilders. Did you see the trailer for that one?
Oh, is that the one with Kristen yeah. Stewart? Or
Kristen Stewart. Yeah. She got absolutely jacked for it.
There was a trailer for that on before the Iron Claw. Actually, it did look good.
I think that's out. I think that's out now. Cam's out this week or something.
Right, we might get it a little bit later than you guys.
Oh,
we'll
right,
always have to wait for films.
Yeah. So movies aside, I have one last question for you.
Okay.
Which is, it's a hypothetical. If you were stranded on a desert island with nothing but a solar-powered Discman and only 3 CDs to listen to on repeat until you were rescued, what would you want to have?
Okay. I would probably go for Meantime by Helmet.
Okay.
Love that album. Now you're asking. Probably Unknown Pleasures by Joy Division as well.
Okay.
And Tarot Sport by Fuck Buttons.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, they were a UK sort of electronic duo. But one of the guys went on to be Blank Mass.
Okay.
I don't know whether you've heard of Blank Mass, but again, definitely worth checking out. So, yeah, they'd probably be my 3.
Nice. A bit of variety in there, which is good.
Yeah. Yep. A bit of depression as well. You know, with your Joy Division.
We have some people that just say, like, nothing but extreme metal. I'm like, that's a lot to be listened to and nothing else.
I couldn't do it. I love extreme music and I love extreme metal, but I can't listen to it all the time.
Yeah. I would probably have like something extreme metal, something noise rock, and then something like psychedelic, just like to chill out to.
Oh, you need a bit of chill time, don't you?
Yeah.
But yeah, Helmet, like that era of Helmet, like top tier for me. I love the work. And I think with regards to sort of band members, I think everything just works perfectly on Meantime. So it's, yeah, great album. That'd be my first pick.
Awesome. So, I mean, I guess one last simple question is, if people want to listen to or purchase the new album, what is the best place to do that?
On our Bandcamp page, which is, which you'll find easily by putting Mastiff in. We've got sort of the vinyls and CDs to sell on there. I'm not sure exactly where in the US it's the best place to get it from. This is for we can obviously ship to the US from our Bandcamp page, but the shipping costs will obviously be a bit higher. If you're in Europe, you can go to the European page.
I would assume your website. Yeah.
So it's just from Bandcamp if you're in the UK, or if you want to buy it from us direct, or Monarch's site if you want to get it elsewhere. I believe it might be on Amazon, etc. Soon, but I'm not too sure. Go to Bandcamp, get it from there, be fine. And I just hope everyone digs it.
And if people want to keep up to date with like what the band's doing, tour photos, all that sort of stuff, what socials should they be following?
That'd be Facebook and Instagram, and we're also on X as well. So we post regular updates on there, so you can follow us on those. We post quite a bit about the upcoming tours, and when we have any new kind of things to share merch wise and stuff. So it's I think all of them actually are at Mastiff HCHC.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was great chatting to you and can't wait for the album to be released. Best of luck with that and good luck with the tour that's coming up. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I really appreciate it. And it's been great chatting to you guys too. Thanks for asking us on.
Yeah, you're always welcome back.
Absolutely.
And for anyone listening at home, just tune in next week. We will have another guest for you.